Well, hey guys, good morning, afternoon or evening, wherever you're at. Graham here with this is my daily update video or podcast. This is a silly one where I just ramble. Hey, I have a few thoughts today. I'll get to in a moment. Somebody asked me a really great question the other day and I want to try to answer it at a greater depth. But the question was, do we need to pray for God to do things in the earth? Does God require, if you will, our prayers for things to happen? And I want to jump in and tackle that in a moment. But hey, as usual, a couple of housekeeping things. If you're new to my channel, hit the subscribe button down there. Give the bell symbol a long press. And drop me a comment. Share this, if you will, on other platforms. That would really help. I'm trying to build a platform where I can get God's word out like never before. Again, email newsletter. I'll be sending that out now on Saturday morning. So if you're not getting that, we'd love to have you there. And some freebies we send out every week. And also news about upcoming meetings. This coming weekend, I'm going to be in Sturbridge on Sunday morning. Speaking about living from eternity, living in the light of eternity. Something I've never preached on, but a really great message, I believe. Sunday afternoon, God willing, we're going to be in Norwalk, Connecticut on the Commons preaching the gospel. I'm going to be talking about the life of Jesus, Jesus living through us. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and what that means. Next week, we have the elections, don't we, on Tuesday. Pray for those. On Wednesday, I'm going to be in Sturbridge Worship Center doing a seminar there. Wednesday evening. At the weekend, I'm going to be in the Berkshires, I think the whole day, in Western Massachusetts. And I'm also booking some meetings for 2021. So I intend to do at least 2 Europe trips in the first 4 months of 2021. And some crusades and events around New England. So yeah, lots of great things there. Good. Hey, let me answer this question then. Let me re-ask that. Does God need us to pray? Does God require our prayers for things to happen? And, you know, there's a group of churches, more the kind of reformed churches, that even to ask that question in that way, they would start frothing at the mouth, you know? And I understand. That's because they put a lot of emphasis and they major on the idea God doesn't require everything. God is sovereign. God is in control. He's all powerful. And, you know, a lot of Christians get that idea. Well, if we ever say God needs, God requires, God can't do something until people pray, they immediately look at that and say, well, that's a contradiction of the old, God wouldn't be almighty if he needs something. Now, I don't agree with that point of view. But I just want to put it out there. That's where a lot of people will immediately run to when they hear somebody say God needs or God requires. So I look at it this way. I don't think God needs our prayers to be active to do things in the earth. But I believe God has chosen to work that way. So I believe an almighty, all-powerful, sovereign God who has the ability and also the moral right to override any one of us to do whatever he wants. He is God. I am not. You are not. But I believe God chooses to work in a certain way. And there are some parts of that I understand. And frankly, there are some parts of it I don't understand. But I believe God, in a way, God, the limitless God, limits himself. The Bible says, forgive me, I don't have the reference there, but I believe it's in Psalm 78. Speaking of Israel, it says they limited the Holy One of Israel. They, the people of Israel, limited God. And I believe we can limit God. I think it's Andrew Womack who has a book. I read it, or a teaching series. I heard it years ago, but a good guy. I like Andrew and I like his teaching. And he teaches on don't limit God. That we put ceilings and limits on God. And that's neither, again, what we are not saying that God loses the ability to do, God just can't do it. The Lord would love to, but he can't do it. We're saying God chooses to work in a certain way. Now, I believe there are reasons for that. You know, I remember once being on a plane years ago, flying somewhere, and talking to an atheist, and this guy said to me, well, if God's, you know, the usual classical atheist get out, that's actually very easy to answer, but he said, if God is all powerful and God is all good, why doesn't he intervene and stop the evil things on the earth? You know, I think there was a genocide somewhere in Africa or, you know, Syria or one of these things going on at the times, and he was saying, God's either all powerful and not all good, or he's all good and not all powerful, but he can't be both. And you'll hear that again and again and again. And usually with a smile on somebody's face. And it's actually the easiest question in the world to answer because God is all powerful and all good. But I said to this guy, so let's pull on that logic a little bit. You're saying, why doesn't God come down from heaven and, let's say, go to Syria and stop what, you know, the bad people are doing, and go to Rwanda and stop the genocide? God comes in with his mighty hand and says, I will not allow you to do evil. And the guy said, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. He said, why doesn't God come and intervene and stop evil things going on the earth? And I then said to this guy, where would you draw the line? And he said, what do you mean? And I carried on. I said, well, you want him to stop genocide. And he said, yeah. And I said, I agree. And I said, I believe God agrees and God will stop all genocide. But would you stop, you know, murder, a smaller level murder, domestic violence, whatever? And he said, yeah, I'd stop that. And I said, would you stop stealing? And he began to kind of think about it. And he said, yeah, I'd probably stop stealing. And I said, well, would you stop anybody ever cheating on their taxes by 1 cent? And this guy went red. And I said, would you stop anybody driving over the speed limit? And he began to see where I was going. And I said, what you've done is, I said to this gentleman, you've drawn a line and you've said, these are the things God should intervene on. And these are the things, my sins, my little sins. I said, in a way, you've done what we all do. We look at us, we go, God, why don't you go and sort the bad people out over there? But we don't want God gate crushing our life and forcing us to stop little lies or little infidelities. Well, I've never committed adultery, but, you know, I look, or I'm speaking not of me, but figuratively here, you get what I'm saying. It is saying, we're saying, God, would you sort out the bad over there and not the bad here? And I said to him, you'll get your prayer answered. The day will come when King Jesus will return and he will call Genghis Khan and Adolf Hitler and, you know, every bat Pol Pot and Stalin and all those people to account. But he'll also call to account Graham Jones, he'll call to account you, Mr. Businessman. He'll call the whole world to account, and he will judge the big evil sins, if you will, but he'll judge every single thing. And I said, he won't judge us, he won't grade us on the curve, he'll grade us by himself, and he'll look at the whole world and say, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I said to him, why isn't God doing that now? Because God's, in his graciousness, he's giving us this window where he allows us to repent. So when Hitler stands before God, God's going to go guilty. But when Graham Jones stands before God, God is going to go guilty. And my way out, my get out of jail card there is not to improve myself or try to be better, but it's to turn and repent of my sins and call on the name of the Lord and stand in the righteousness of Jesus. Now, what's this got to do with prayer? In a way, I'd say the same thing where God, if God were to do everything he wanted to do on planet Earth today, he would literally come and impose his will on everything, on everything, on everything, and everything, because he is a good God and a righteous God and a holy God. But I believe what happens when we pray is we invite God. If you will, we give him our permission in this moment in space and time. Where God, who is all powerful, he's given my life over to me to run. Graham Jones gets to decide today on a Thursday whether I live righteously or whether I live selfishly. I get to decide whether I am willing to pay for the cup of coffee for the person behind me in the queue or whether I am not going to do that or whatever. I get to decide that. Now, I think when we pray, what we do is we invite God into. And I don't understand this. And anybody who claims they do, it's probably lying, because we don't work God out, but we walk in his ways. So I would say this, that on a micro level in my life and your life today, there are things God won't do unless we ask him. So I believe today, if I literally say, Lord, would you lead people to me who need you? Lord, would you keep me safe? Would you direct my paths? I literally open a door for God to be real and God to be active in my life. And if I don't, I won't. Now again, God's still sovereign and all-powerful, but I invite him in. I believe when a nation turns to God and says, God, we need you, we can't do you can't do a nation well without you. That's what the original founding fathers of America prayed. That's what they prayed when they landed on Plymouth Rock. They said, Lord, we need your help to build a nation. And they didn't get everything right, but they at least invited God into that process. So I believe we should be inviting him in. And hey, tomorrow I'm going to share some thoughts on a prayer of petition. How do we pray really accurate prayers that move things? I'll leave you with this one thought, and I'll come back to this tomorrow. But it's amazing how many times Jesus used the word ask, 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 ask. Ask and you shall receive. You have not because you ask not. Ask, ask, ask. To everyone, Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. Religion will tell you, well, you never know what God's going to do. My Bible says I know exactly what God is going to do. And I believe he wants us to be, again, I'll come back to this tomorrow, but like the widow woman with the wicked judge, where she kept coming back saying, asking, banging on the door, give me what belongs to me. Now, again, God is not a wicked judge. We don't go with our fist raised to God, banging on the door saying, I know what my rights are. But rather we go to Satan and we say, we will not let you go. You are going to let go of our town. You're going to let go of our kids. We're going to stand and see the plans and purposes of God revealed in our day and in our generation. Boom. All right. I hope that's helpful. Just some thoughts there. So yes, I believe God, an unlimited God, chooses to limit himself at times to the prayers, even the desires, the faith of his people. And I believe we should rise up to that challenge. And again, tomorrow I'm going to share a few thoughts on the prayer of petition. Good. Hey, later this afternoon, I'm back with another of my teaching on the foundations of the Christian life. Going to be talking about righteousness. So around about 4 p.m. Eastern today, I'll be releasing that. Again, if you can, subscribe to these videos, email newsletter. If you're a podcast listener, my podcast is now on all of the main iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Overcast. There's a few others as well. You'll find them if you look. Thanks, guys, for watching. I'm cheering you on and blessing you this wonderful day. Bye for now.